Welcome back. We spent a lot of time until now, Baruch Hashem, speaking about the mishaps, the Shira, the Aveda Midas of Hashem Yisbarach and creating the world and all the Olamos. So in Perek Daled now, I'm going to begin with Siyata Deshmaya speaking about the Tikkun Olam, the change of direction, the clarity in all of the Shira and seeming mistakes, kivyachal, in order to create this purpose. So let's begin here in this Perek Daled. Acha Shvira Hoitzia Hashem Yisbarach Or Chadash Mi'akav. After the Shvira, Hashem Yisbarach, He revealed a new light from the Kav. So remember, the Kav, the presence of the Kav in the Chol HaPanei, wasn't just an in and out. It wasn't just a one-time event. The Kav is a presence that Hashem Yisbarach has in the Chol, which serves also as a tzinor, as a vehicle, as a means, as a pipe, to bring down Shef into the world. So the first time that Kav entered into the Chol, and it came in contact with these Kalim, so it was the Shvira of the Kalim. So now the job of this new light, which Hashem Yisbarach is going to have and to bring into this chalol, which is not a chalol anymore, is in order to restore the Esses Sphiris with a new revelation. Something new was revealed, which will cause the tikkun to take place. It wasn't just a repeat of what was before. There's going to be a new revelation of light, a chiddush that Hashem Yisbarach is going to bring. And that chiddush is going to be important for us because, again, we're not here to delve into the depths of Kabbalah. We're here to understand the little bit that we know, and forever it's the little bit that we know, of the Seder of Ma'aseh Bereishis, to be able to understand ourselves and our own creation of ourselves. So to understand the nature of this light and the chiddush which took place is going to be extremely fundamental and instrumental in our own Avodas Hashem, and Hashem Yisbarach is teaching us through this process the creation of world, but the creation of Adam. This is going to be a tikkun of the Esses Sphiris ba'ifin shel yishtabruyot. It's going to be a rectification, a certain clarity in the restoration of these kelim that they will never break again. So now, he speaks very bekitzer. And of course, like we mentioned before, these are big sugyas which have many reasons for why things break. So he writes, the Hinesibis Hashvira Haisim Mishum Shah Kalim Hayu Echa Lamata Michaver. The reason why the Kalim broke, Danny, on the second paragraph we just started, you have a copy? Yeah? Of the new one? Yeah? The new one. The Hinesibis Hashvira Haisim Mishum Shah Kalim Hayu Echa Lamata Michaver. It would seem, Pshat here, and the reason of the Shvira is that the kelim were situated one below the other, like in a straight line. It's called chad samcha. That's the lashon. Chad samcha, one line. V'lo haya behem his kashrus ve'achdus. Now, what does that mean in pnimius? Just because things stand in one line doesn't mean they can't work together. It means that there's going to be definite destruction. What this represents is that there was a lacking of his kashrus and achdus between the kelim. And when that happens, there's chaos. Beratza kol echad limleich al hashar. Each keli wanted to rule over the other one. V'cha'asher nichnusu riboy ha'orois mikli echad ha'chaveiroi. So when this light was being generated and entering into the keli, the first keli, and then the keli beneath it, and then the keli beneath it, all the orois were coming in like a with a tremendous force, and all at once. Mikli echa l'chaveir l'yachlu l'savlon. So they couldn't be soivel, all the or, v'nishbiru, and they broke. So we spoke about this, what this represents, just agav, we'll just repeat again. The inyan is, as that he's explaining what that means, formation-wise, the fact that we have here kelim stacked on top of each other represents that in Pnimius, each one wanted to rule over the next. The Svarim referred to this as the concept of Ana Emlech, that I want to be the master, I want to be the king, I want to dominate. Problem is that if there's so much Shefa which is coming down, if the Oiras are so much and the Kelim are so small, so then the Kelim will shatter. We spoke about this at length. There are other reasons why the Ari says, why the breaking of the Kelim took place, but for our purposes of understanding the Pnimius Havoida, this is sufficient for us for sure. Ve'achshav niskinu mechadash. And now Hashem Yisbarach is going to fix things. Ve'nizderu, and they were going to be situated, ve'oifen, shelo yamad ha'keli ba'atzma yizeh tachazeh. The first correction is that we're not going to stack them on top of each other anymore. Rak yamdu zeh etzel zeh, ba'ava ve'achdus. They're going to be standing one next to each other, which represents, of course, a sense of Ava and Achdus, which is the penis reason why. What's the formation? Al derech yamin smol ve'emtza. A right, a left, and a center. Kamo segel, and that nekuda is the nekuda of a segel. It's going to be interesting for us to note that, because we're going to speak about Shvira. It's called the Olam HaNekudim. Shvira has a lot to do with the Nekudim, the Nekudos. But here you have a Nekuda which represents the Tikkun, is that it's a Segel. How does that work? Shehayamin yashpia lahasmol. So the right will be the giver, and the small will be the taker. V'hasmol yitzamtzim hashafa. The left side will be mitzamtzim, will take it and know how to hold it, know how to give it a gvul. And then the third one will be able to blend them together. And with this, they'll have a kiyum, and they'll be able to pass on and to give to the next set below. I'll just note that this lashon of a segel, it's also important. Of course, we know the segel is three dots, right? Right, left, and then down. That's the segel. So, Bnei Yisrael, as a shevach that Hashem gives to Bnei Yisrael, before the giving of the Torah, Hashem says, "Klai Yisrael v'yisem li skula mikol ha'amim." You'll be a skula amongst all the nations. What type of a shevach is this? What type of wisdom is a skula? So the Svarim explained that skula comes from the word segel, and it's merameis on the nekuda of the segel, that all the other umas ha'olam, that they had a shvira, they have a shvira, they don't know how to take shefa from Hashem Yisbarach. Like the pasuk says in the end of Sefer Devarim, Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, "Ketem ha'ma'at mikol ha'amim." You are the least of all the nations. So of course, Klai Yisrael bothered by that. That's a shevach, that we're the least of all the nations. We're the smallest in number. So of course, everything in Pnimius means not in terms of quantity, it refers to quality. So there's a certain quality of Ketem ha'mamayit, atzbachem, Chazal say, that you mamayit yourselves when I give you things. That when I give you shefa, you know how to humble yourself before me. So we see in order to receive from Hashem Yisbarach properly, because the shefa is so great, the keli to receive that is the humility. And Bnei Yisrael for that reason is called the segula mikol ha'am, that we understand the secret of the segel. Whereas we spoke about last week, as it pertains to the end of last week's parasha, Parashas Vayishlach, that the shvira of the Zion Kalim is represented by what? The shvira of the Zion Malchi Edom. That quality of Esav is the quality of Gaiva. Whereas Yaakov represents the quality of humility, like we had in the beginning of Parashas Vayishlach, which is just a hakdama to the end of it. The face-off between Yaakov and Esav. Esav says, Yeshli Rav. Right? He boasts about how much he has. Whereas Yaakov says, Yeshli Kol, I have everything I need. What does he ask from Hashem Yisbarach? Just a little bit of lechem to eat and a beged to wear. He knows how to be memait himself before Hashem Yisbarach. The humility that Yaakov Avinu has, that's the crown of Klai Yisrael. So therefore, this musug, this midah of anava is represented by the segel, which is the shalach that Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael by Matan Torah. V'yisem li skula. And that's really the answer to the question. Why is it that Bnei Yisrael is the only nation which can receive the Torah, whereas the other nations will reject the Torah? The reason why is because Bnei Yisrael can receive a Torah which is such a great light, which is represented by the Kav, is because you understand the secret of Segel. to receive a shefa like Torah, you need to understand that secret called segel. How to work together in a way where there's a right, where there's a left, where there's a center, which is of course represented by what? The Kohen, the Levi, and Yisrael. Klaisel is built on the very fabric of a segel. That there's a symmetry which is taking place between the three factions of Bnei Yisrael. And even beyond that, amongst just the Shvatim, how the Shittu Deikol work together. But the secret of the segel, Hashem Yisbarach is alluding to by Matan Torah, that the formation of segel is what differentiates between Bnei Yisrael and the Umas HaOlam to be able to receive Torah, to have the keli, to have the keli to be able to receive a shefa, a zay shefa, like the Torah Kedosha. Of course, this is an important place before we speak about the nature of these kelim a little bit more, about the importance of achdus, which emerges from here, as he explained, that the kelim by standing ze itzel ze represents ahava ve'achdus. This idea of ahava ve'achdus. Yari says that before we daven every single day, a Jew should be makabel upon himself the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamecha. That's how the Yari begins the whole discussion, Shara Kavanas, in speaking about the inyan of davening. And he says, with very strong words, Zechor Klal Zeh. You have to remember this forever and ever, that when a Jew begins davening, he has to makabel upon himself Yahavta L'Recha Kamecha. And there are reasons why this is, as you can understand, in Pimius, and even in Pshat, why that is. But just on our level for sure. When a Jew comes together in Shul to daven with a minyan, a Beis Knesset doesn't just mean a place for 10 bodies to gather together and to just try to make it work. In Pimis, and we're talking about Pimis, and Pimis we know this is for sure true. Achdus means not just 10 bodies standing together, it means that they're connected to each other, belev nefesh. That's what it means, a real tzibur. A real tzibur. And even the word tzibur, the Sfarim say, the tzadi, the beis, and the reish stands for tzadikim, benin, and rishayim, which is again our right, which are the tzadis on the right, the rishayim is on the left, and the beis in the middle, because as we'll see, that middle keli is called chad benini. Tzibur represents a blending together of opposites. It's not a chiddush to take 10 things which are identical and to put them together. But that's not called achdus. If you have a painting which is just all red, that's not a painting. That's just a splash of color. Achdus means 10 things which are distinct from each other to bring them together. So therefore, v'yahavta l'recha kamecha, to love your Jew like you love yourself, the chiddush of that is to take that which is most distant from you, which is the most opposite from you, and to bring it into your life and to embrace it. Like the Gemara tells us in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, that the ikar mitzvah of v'yahavta l'recha kamecha is between ish ve'isha. That's the Ikra Mitzvah. Why? Because an Ish v'Isha are like Kirachak Mizrach Mimarav. They're so different from each other. Right? A man and a woman, it's a complete, total opposite. It's very easy to get together in a dorm, in a yeshiva dorm, to live with your roommates. But as soon as you put an Ish v'Isha together, it's a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush. And that's why this whole Musik of Yamin and Smol, which we're speaking about here, As the roles of Mashpi and Makabal, as we'll see, that it's a matter of Mashpi and Makabal. In Shemayim, there's no Yomin and Smol. It doesn't work like that. There's something which is above Mida. So typically, Yomin and Smol represents a Mashpi and a Makabal. So of course, you know an Ish is a Mashpi and the Ish is a Makabeles, and to know how to work that out takes a lot of Chacham and Siyata Dishmayim. But that's the Ikar of Yahavta L'Recha Kamecha. So when 10 people come together as a Tzibur, and of course, 10 people represent 10 spheres. Every time we bring 10 people together for a minyan, we're asking that they should be 10 spheres to be makabel the or which comes down during tefillah. That we're reliving this process every single day when we daven. And so therefore, it's fundamental in its roots. The first halacha in Pnimius in davening together is that don't look at a minyan as just a collection of 10 bodies together. It means the coming together of 10 people. That's a real tzibur. And the tefillahs that we generate, and the koyach of the tefillahs, is going to be dependent upon that degree of yahavta l'recha kamecha which we feel in that tzibur. You know, the Ramchal, when he had his Chavraya Kedisha, when he tried to bring the Mashiach with his Chavraya Kedisha, So he had rules. He had rules to be part of the chevra of the Ramchal. He had a set of rules. And one of the most important rules of the Ramchal in that chevra was that you have to love each other, believe in nefesh. You have to be meichel on each other. You have to love each other. That was one of the rules of being part of the chevra. Like we say in the pasuk, the Sfarim say, "Hinei matoivim manayim sheves achim gam yachad." How sweet it is, sheves achim gam yachad. What does it mean, sheves achim gam yachad? And why is it so sweet? Because sheves just means getting 10 people together. But gam yachad means that in pinyus they should also be mekushav zebra. There's sheves, but there's also yachad. Not just that you should sit around together. You know how it is if you come to a frambringin or to a tish and there's just 10 people randomly. You come to a minyan in some random place and you don't really feel like you're part of it. So it affects the tefillahs too. And getting to know each other, when we know each other, it enhances the tefillahs. But if we don't know each other, you come to a place where there's 10 people, you go to an amusement park and you get 10 people together. So you don't have to know each other. You just know each other for the moment. But if you love him because he's a Jew, that's all which is being asked. So, and it makes an effect, mamash, every tefillah, everything which we do. It's going to make for a difference in that. It's a difference between what? Shvira and Kiyom. This midah, this quality, the half to the Recha Kamecha. Of course, this week's parasha, last week's parasha, the whole Indian of Mechiras Yosef was what? They had a bunch of brothers who were asked to get along. Had they gotten along, then they'd be able to receive the Or of Yaakov Avinu. But because they couldn't get along, so there was a Shvira in the brothers, because it was lacking the Recha Kamecha. That what he called his kashrus for his achdus. Now, who of all the brothers represents his kashrus for his achdus? That's Yosef the tzaddik. Yosef was the tzaddik. He was the one of Yaakov's children, which was supposed to bring all the brothers together. Like Yaakov says to Yosef, "Go down to the brothers to make shalom." Liros es shleim echav ves shleim hatzon. We haven't spoken about Sviras yet, but of course we know that. I think it was mentioned. Charlie mentioned on the voice note as well. We mentioned it in passing that the Sfira of Yesod, which is what's represented by Bris and Yosef, is his kashrus and his achdus. And that coming together of all the Shvatim was going to be through Yosef HaTzadik. But as soon as Yosef HaTzadik is sown, so then there's a breakdown of all of the Achim, of all the Shvatim, and even Yehuda, who's the highest, is the Malach. As soon as Yosef is sown, what does it say? Vayevid Yehuda. Yehuda goes down too. Because if there's missing that achdus, then everybody suffers from that. Even the Malach himself suffers from that. Just l'mashal, just in our day and age, let's say you have a government. You have Republicans and Democrats, let's say. Right? So if they get along together, then they can make rules which will have a kiyum. But if this one rules the Senate and this one rules the House, and they can't get along with each other, so then it's just stalemate. Nothing happens. It's just such a backward way of doing things. It's just that this one comes and repeals that last government's one, and this one comes and makes new rules, and they're just going back and forth. That's not called kiyum, that's called shvira, because if you can't understand how to get along in the way of mashvi and mekabel, then you're just going ahead with each other. And nothing ever happens. That's not called hatzlacha, that's called a shvira. So Mamila, if there would be a sense of, we want to do what's best for the people, let's work together to make things happen. If there was an achdus between them, then something would happen. That's certainly true in any, not just in any government, but just in any body, in any of coming together, when there's a purpose of that what stands above all else is this klal of yahavta d'recha kamecha, we're in this together, then anything can have its life. But that's the midah of Yosef, and that's why, even though you're just missing Yosef, and you think that 11 brothers can make it, because l'maisa, they're the rove, and they're big tzaddikim, but if you're missing that ingredient which brings everything together, then it's just chaos. Everything has an effect. So let's continue. Elyon Navi has a hakdama, which many say before davening every shachar, it's called Pasach Eliyahu. In that hakdama, there are many yesoides of Pnimis HaTorah. So he gives names to the formation of the segel. He says as follows, Chad Arich. He says that the right side is called Arich, which is the Kav of Chesed, which is in Yamin. And this is what he calls a hashpa of arichas apayim afidu l'arishon. Even here, he's bringing in this concept of tzibur. Arich is meramez and arichas apayim. V'chad katsir, and one is katsir, the smaller one, which is the kaf hadin shebe small, which is represents tzimtzum and balchema, which is the opposite of arichas. Arichas apayim means the patience, and katsir means to be, like we say, short fused, something short about a person. Comes from this expression of katsir in its shayresh. V'ein shem arichas apayim, v'chad beinani, which is the kaf harachamim shebe emza, which is in the center, hamismatzeya bein shnehem. And this is going to be the formation all the way down from the ten siras, that Chachma, Bina, and Das are going to be a right, left, and a center. Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes are going to be a right, left, and a center. And the Netzach, Chol, Yamin are also going to be a right, left, center. And there's going to be diagrams along the way, I'm sure. So there's going to be this formation of right, left, center, like a working together of three, that although there's ten, there's three going to be working together. Agav, this gives us a Pesach into understanding the whole Indian of a Zimun. That there's typically two dargas of a zimun. There's the zimun of shleisha, and there's also a zimun of asar. So the zimun of asar, we understand why that's like a minyan, because there's ten spheres, and the ten spheres is the root of all things coming together, is in the number of ten. However, there's also a tiny tzibur, which is called the tzibur of shleisha, which is why a zimun is b'shleisha, because although ten work together, that's not considered to be the only way. You can also have a chevra of three working together. And that's called a zimun in Birchas HaMazon. That comes from this surah of Chad Arech, Chad Kotzer, and Chad Beinani. So he's going to get into more detail now what the chiddush is of the kiyum of the kelim. So now that we understand there's a right, left, and a center, and we understand that what that represents, not just in the tzura, in the segal, but it represents the achdus and the working together. There's an akuda here which he wants to bring out as follows. So this is what Chazal tell us on the pasuk of Ani Kel Shakai. Ani Kel Shakai. Just agav, Shakai is the shame. Every single sphere corresponds to a shame of Hashem. And the Shem of Hashem, which corresponds to the sphere of Yisrael, is Shakai. Okay? So here, as we're going to explain the Chiddush of the Kiyum HaKelim, we haven't spoken about the energy which comes down, which is, well, we'll see what that's called, the Ma, which is going to come from the Ka. We're talking just right now about, just to give ourselves the proper address, fortifying the Kelim. How did the Kelim fortify themselves to prevent the new Shefa from coming down, from destroying them? So here is the Ka. Sani Kel Shakai. What does that mean? It's turning the page. Ani hu she'amarti lo'olam yidai. There's a chiddush that Hashem says in Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem says that I told my world enough. Chazal explained that as Hashem Yisbarach was creating the world and there was a certain hispashtus, there was an expansion which is taking place, whatever that means, and can be darshan in many ways, of course, it came to a point where Hashem said, die. Hashem said, enough. That in Ma'aseh Bereishis, there's a concept called Dai. So what does that mean for us? So he explains, Shaba Olam HaTikun, in the world of Tikun, which we're discussing now, again, Chaver, we're moving from the world of Shvira to the world of Tikun now. In this world of Tikun, Nasan Hashem Yisbarach Behabriya Koyach Chadash Shel Tzimtzum, there's a Chiddush called Tzimtzum. Of course, we spoke about Tzimtzum before in the creation of the Chalul HaPanah. That was the first Tzimtzum. But in terms of the Kelim themselves, to learn the lesson of Hashem Yisbarach Tzimtzum and to apply that in the Kelim. Right? Not just to know how to receive. Not just know how to receive. They were trying to receive. They tried to receive everything. The Chiddush here of Dai is to know how to push the button and to say, stop the Shefa. Enough. I can't take any more. That humility to be able to say that I'm a Baal Gvul, to recognize that I'm a Baal Gvul. That's the Chiddush of Dai. Kiven she'ein shum sfira meleches ba'atzma, that nobody's going to be the Melech here. Rak kol sfira pa'eles b'shituf im shekinegda. That there's going to be a working together. is going to be a working together. I'm not going to take it all for myself. It's going to be a working together. That's considered to be a concept of tikkun, which, by the way, you see that just in the world, that it used to be that in the world that all governments were ruled by melech. Malchus used to be in, right? Nowadays, democracy is in. Why is democracy in? Because democracy is a chiddush of, we're not going to have a melech anymore. Because if the melech doesn't know how to say die, then everybody suffers. A Jewish king knows how to say die, okay? So that's why in Yiddishkeit, because the melech is chosen, because he's the most humble of the people, it works. The system works. But as soon as somebody is greedy, then the whole malchus falls apart. Then he's not a tzinu anymore to bring down shefa. David HaMelech is chosen because he's the most humble, and therefore David Avdi Melech La'ilam. David is forever the Melech, because there's nobody more humble than David HaMelech. So he doesn't take any shefa from himself. All the shefa runs through David HaMelech. And everybody humbles themselves to David HaMelech because he humbles himself to Hashem Yisbarach. But the whole chiddush of democracy, just as we're passing through this tzinor, is that it represents, as man's creation, although it fails because there's still gaiva even in the system, that there should be an element of trying to work together, a system of checks and balances, of a certain hishtatvus, but in primis, if there's no hishtatvus, then the keli itself is mufrach, be'atzen. So he continues, this koyach of shitov, v'lachim mitzamsem kol echad es atzmo b'fnei chaver. That each one will be mitzamsem himself, he'll hold himself back, he won't try to rule over the next. He won't try to flex his muscles and try to impress or overpower the next. Knowing one's limitations is going to be the secret ingredient which allows kiyum of the caliph. When they were destroyed, it's because they didn't know how to say enough. They tried to take everything for themselves. Just to be malamed tzchus a little bit on the kelim, you know that there's a very important principle and mitzvah and Torah, which the Rambam writes is like the top 10 in the Sefer Mitzvah. The Rambam calls the mitzvah of halach the bidracha, which means to follow in Hashem Yisrael's ways. To follow in the ways of Hashem. And we know what that means, as Chazal explained, is mahu afata. Just like Hashem Yisrael, so too I should be. This is a very important concept in Avodas Hashem, which is what the Rambam considers it in his list of mitzvahs as the top 10, is because Hashem Yisbarach to us, and this is a very important inclusion in Avodas Hashem, he's not just God, and he's not just a melech, and he's not just a rebbe, and he's not just a friend or a spouse. Hashem Yisbarach is considered to be a role model for the Jewish people. Where does it come from, this feeling that a person has inside, that everybody's looking for a role model? That's even called like to idolize. It's a funny name, right? To idolize. If somebody likes a certain l'habdal al fevdalos in the chitzanis world, a singer, he idolizes the singer. The pshat is that there's an inherent nature that a human being has, that any niver has, that he's looking for somebody to emulate. He's looking for somebody to model himself after because he doesn't know. It's not just somebody who's going to teach him chachma. A role model means that you try to be that thing. But in chitzonius, if you try to be that thing, or if you're trying to be something which you're not supposed to be, that's called idolizing. It's like an avodah zarah. Because Hashem Yisbarach doesn't want that there should be two of the same. That first mistake that there should be two of the same is the first mistake in idolizing. Second mistake of idolizing, we said before, is to not know what to idolize. But there's an inherent teva that a person has that he's looking for a role model in his life, in every aspect of his life. That he should look at that and he should say, that's what I want to be. Not just to learn, because learning is in the world of intellect. It's in the world of something which doesn't have a concrete form. He should be able to look and to be able to say, this. Tachazi, look at this. Not just in the world of tashma, to hear it, but to be able to see it. What's the whole idea by Leil Seder that Eliyahu Navi comes to the Seder? Why does he come to the Seder? Because you're sitting around the table talking about Cheres. But if you whisper over to somebody, and not just somebody like who you invited to come, like somebody at your Seder, who like doesn't know the first thing about Yiddishkeit, but is coming because they know inside themselves that they should be here tonight. But if you whisper somebody, what does Cheres mean? How do you explain Cheres? Freedom? Is really freedom is what it means? Are we really free that we can do whatever we want? in America? Is this really called freedom? Of Pashat, it's not called freedom. In Pnimius, what's called Chayrus? So Hashem Yisbarach says, you know what? I know you don't know what real Chayrus really means. And if you spoke about it from today till tomorrow, you also still wouldn't know what it means. So I'll give you a dogma of what Chayrus really is. So who comes to the night of the Seder? Eliyahu Navi comes. He comes. Why does he come? Because Hashem Yisbarach wants to show you what it means a Ben Chayr. Eliyahu Navi is a Ben Chayr. And it gives us a tremendous musig of what Chayrus means. Imam shatters our whole understanding. That's the Shiras HaKelim. That you have a new hakar of what that means. Eliyahu Navi represents Chayrus. Oh, that's his Chayrus. What does Eliyahu Navi represent? Eliyahu Navi represents somebody that he's not mugbal at all. That although there are forces in this world which seem to want to be on top of us and to bring us down and to say, I'm higher than you, Eliyahu Navi says, I'm higher than all of you. Of course, that comes from his Bittul Tashem Yisbarach, but Eliyahu Navi is able so much so a Ben Chayrin to look at the face of Misa itself, the Malach HaMaves, and say, I'm free from you too. You have no shlit over me. The Chazal say, Chayrus means, afilu mi Malach HaMaves. That only a real Ben Chayrin is somebody who is completely free from the shlit of the Malach HaMaves. That even Misa can't be shut. Misa is the biggest teva in this world, is the Koyach HaMisa. That even Rashbi, that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody, Misa is a gzera which nobody can get out of. That means that you're not completely Ben Chayrin. So Hashem Yisrael says, you want to know what a Ben Chayrin is? I'm sending you Eliyahu Navi. You should be able to look at him and to see what's made the Ben Chayrin. Be able to see it with yourself. That's what gives a person clarity, to be able to see with his eyes. He knows what that means. So Hashem Yisrael himself is a role model for the Jewish people, that when our eyes behold Hashem Yisbarach, which it will, ki ayin ba'ayin yiru, and they saw by Har Sinai, they saw by Kriyas Yamsof, to be able to see that seeing is not just a superficial seeing. It means a seeing, like the Svarim say, there's like a re'iyah and there's histaklus. It's a histaklus in a way that you're able to see and to understand what it means. That's where it comes from, this idea of wanting to have a role model. The ultimate role model for a Jew is Hashem Yisbarach himself. And even a tzaddik is like a dogma. Is a dogma of a role model, because the tzaddik himself has Hashem Yisbarach as his role model. So when we have a tzaddik as a role model for us, it doesn't mean that I want to be that tzaddik, that I have to be exactly like him. Even that becomes idolizing, to take a Rebbe or a Rebbe and to turn him into everything. That's why there were many machlekes of tzaddikim were about that. When there was a tzaddik in the world, that he was so, so great, that people were being toya after him, they would make a machlekes against that tzaddik, so that they should at least have the proper perspective of that this is not something which you're idolizing. Don't idolize the tzaddik. That he should be a role model, but even that's just a role model of Hashem Yisbarach himself. Not to forget who the true role model is. That's why, for example, by Lubavitch, let's say. Everybody agreed that Lubavitch was a very big tzaddik. What was the problem? The problem was that people were becoming to idolize the Rebbe. So that's when tzaddikim stand up and they have to make machlekes against him. They make machlekes against him because they're doing him a big favor. By making a machlekes against him, what it means is that they're coming to show that he's not the Almighty. He's not everything. Don't forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why they make machlekes against him. That everything should be centered and recentered and aligned properly. The hashkafa should be very clear. This happened throughout all the generations when they were very big tzaddikim. It's one of the reasons why you can never understand machlekes and tzaddikim, because A, they see in Shemayim what's going on. They know what they need to do. So we don't have their eyes to see. So we can never question the machlekes of tzaddikim. But know that in Pnimius, many of the machlekes of tzaddikim aroused, not because of petty hashkafic differences. That was nothing. The reason why it aroused is because they needed to make a shmir for the tzaddik. And the tzaddik needed a shmir because if in the Welt, if in the Olam, the people are starting to lose sight of the role of the tzaddik vis-a-vis Hashem Yisbarach, in the world that could be a big pegam. And so therefore they made a shmir from the tzaddik and make a machlekes. And behind the scenes, they knew what was going on. And they accepted it with love. Accepted it with love. Like Rabbi Nachman was a very big tzaddik in his generation. People may look at him and get a bit. The biggest favor, he has a whole piece on this in the Likutei Maran where he talks about, it's about Eliyahu Navi happens to be, that Eliyahu Navi will make a kitchug against tzaddik, and Pinchas made a kitchug against Zimri because he saw in the Shayrish that it needed to be, to protect the tzaddik. You know, I can't say the previous Tachina Rebbe, but the father of the previous Tachina Rebbe was Rabbi Yitzchak Tachina, it's called the Alter Rebbe. So he made a big machaz many times against the Belzer Rebbe, Rav Aaron Belzer. Rav Aaron Belzer was considered to be mamash the tzaddik adar. My Rebbe says, there's so many books about him. He was like a malach. Every generation is a tzaddik that you look at him and he's like a malach. He's not a regular person. That was the Belzer Rebbe in the previous generation. The Belzer Rebbe was somebody who came out, he had like no mitzias in this world came out.
The
Ravara Lebelzer. The Ravara Lebelzer. They were all great. The whole Belzer dynasty is just unbelievable. Ravara Lebelzer in his door was like, Mamish miyuchad miyuchad. He used to walk down the street in a certain way that he would say, I have to be careful that I don't step on the Shemus Agdashim when I walk. And he didn't see ground. He just saw Shemus Agdashim. So he would walk carefully not to step on the Shemus Agdashim. Such a person. So this, the Alter Rebbe from Sitchin, he used to make big, he used to say things about the Belzer Rebbe. He used to put him down and to say things about him, which like heresy to talk about a tzaddik like that. It was a unanimous tzaddik ador. It was the Belzer Rebbe to say things like that. So the Alter Rebbe used to say that the Belzer Rebbe has no better friend in the world than me. No better friend in the world than me. Of course, there's tremendous implications what that means, but you can never understand what it means, machlekes ben tzaddikim. That means. Coming back to our whole discussion about role models, what we're getting at. If you have kelim who were created, right, and they're looking at Hashem Yisborach as the role model, so it's not so schwer, no pun intended, yeah? It's not so schwer that they should look and they should think to themselves, I want to take everything. You should make the mistake that you should also be a Baal Gvul to know you're a Baal Gvul. Right? Who is your role model? Your role model is the infinite himself. He's Lamalam in a Gvul. So if you're a Baal Gvul, look in Lamalam Gvul, and you know that Hashem Yisborach wants you to also be like him. So the first thing you're going to do is you want to be like not a Baal Gvul. You want to take everything just like Hashem Yisborach. There's certain excitement. There's a certain, as you see, like a Naris has a certain excitement. There's a certain childish energy which comes along with an excitement, but yet there's a certain lacking of seichel. There's a meichin dekanus would come to that. You see like a child, he really wants to do everything as much as he can, and then it causes a shvira. Because he needs a zakin to be able to tell him, okay, your nairus energy is gevaldik. But you have to have a zakin, a zesha kana chachmi, who know how to implement that properly. But unless he has a zakin in his life to teach him, then he's going to make a shvira out of himself. That's what happened with Yosef. They didn't know that Yosef was under the tutelage of Yaakov, you know. I say, yeah, Yosef is called Ben Zakunim. Chazal say he was called Zeshe Kana Chachma. He wasn't just a Na'ar like the Pasuk calls him. He also had that Zikna, that Chachma, that he wasn't going to run into a brick wall and to shatter himself. He had the guidance of Yaakov, you know. He had that role model in his life, but they didn't understand that. They thought that he was just running off and doing his own thing. So because of that, even though Yosef perhaps himself wouldn't have broke, they broke Yosef. They didn't really break him because he went down to Mitzrayim and he still had a key, which when they saw Yosef, how come your keli didn't break? And he said, "Ha'oyla v'chay," because I had a role model. I know I had the chachma. So part of that childish beginnings of the kelim was that they knew what they wanted to do. They saw the goal and they realized that to emulate Hashem Yisborach is the master plan. But to have to get there needed a certain sense of chachma. And that chachma was understanding the inyan of tzimtzum, knowing who you are first, knowing your limitation, klapi Hashem Yisbarach, that He will always be the ingvul. Even as much as He gives you the koyach of ingvul, you'll always have to have that humility. And without that humility, without that koyach of being mitzamtzim yourself, to knowing that you're a balgvul, and to know how to push the button to say enough, wasn't just like the kelim, like we described them as just ana amlach. I want to be just the king. It didn't come from this ace of place only. In the roots, it's the same quality. But it wasn't just this gaiva, and we're talking in the Shirish now, this gaiva of this, I want to be the melech, like that craziness. It came from a place in Kedusha even. And that's why in all the madrigas of Kedusha from top to bottom, there's always going to be this nekuda, and that's going to have its relevance for us, is that to know a person's limitation, and that lack of limitation, knowing limitation, is in itself a certain gaiva which causes a shiur. Let's just do one more paragraph. Although there's more to talk about in the Indian of Tzimtzum, we'll have to figure out how to come back. This seder which we described, the segel, is called the Olam Hatikun. Shekfar nivru ba'ifin haroi lamad aliskayim. Ki ha'olamas hakayim nikru alma d'charivu. The olamas before this, which is the Shvira, was called the Olam of Charuv. They were created to break. Beside Boina Olamos and Machrivan, he's quoting the Lashon of Chazal. Boina Olamos and Machrivan, Sha'oid Kalam Shebran, that even before they were created, for a higher race of Shishtaru, it was built in. The self destruct button was built in, so to speak. Masha'inkin Ha'olam HaChadash, now that Hashem Yisbarach is rebuilding, Kfar Nivra Bechdei Liskai. It's going to be built in a way to be Niskayim. And he writes, V'zeha Oilam Hatikun Nikr B'Shem. This is what's called, he gives it a name, this is the Kabbalah name for the Oilam Hatikun. It's called the Oilam HaBrudim. It's called the Oilam HaBrudim. And he's going to explain what this means, Oilam HaBrudim. Ki Targum Brudim, the word Brudim is Ptzichin. Ptzichin in Targum translated into Psuchim, means that it's open. Milashan Pitzchu Harim Rina, based on the Pasuk of Pitzchu Harim Rina. Bar Lashon of Nifradim. Ki Ha'olamos Shenishbaru Nikru B'Shem Oilam HaNekudim. Okay, to get to, this is already the Kabbalah Shbach, and I want to just run through it because these are terms which are going to come up, and it's going to need more than just 3 minutes. So we'll come back to the terms of Mitzvah, and we're going to give the Kabbalah terms. We're going to speak about the Kabbalah terms, why they're called the way, maybe speak a little bit more about how they reflect upon the Sphira of the Shvira and the Tikkun Mitzvah Hashem. So we should be zeicha that our lives should be filled with Tikkun. Have a Tzedek and Chanukah.
Call it over offering.